Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Stars lose tonight, final score 3-0 against the Jets. Thanks to DraftKings for sponsoring us and all of THPN. Be sure to use that promo code THPN anytime you're on DraftKings. Get a couple little freebies and let them know that we sent you over there. Man, what an opportunity tonight for the Stars. And we just can't get past these pesky Jets. Stars have a chance to not only clinch the Central Division title for the first time since we won the West, I believe, in the Lindy Ruff era. They had a chance to take the lead in the President's Trophy race, and we can't get either done. And, man, what a frustrating game. Jets played exactly the way they needed to and frustrated the heck out of the Stars. They played great, I thought, James.
Yeah, the Jets were really good. Even on a bad night for the Stars, it's really hard to keep them off the sheet. The last time the Stars were shut out was December 4th, so it's been a hot second since the Stars have not scored a goal in a game. It's just a tough one when you're talking about that. The President's Trophy right there for the taking, man. I mean, yep. If you can win that game, you have two more games. You win both of those, it doesn't matter. You win the President's Trophy.
Exactly. And that's what stings a little bit more about tonight is all the opportunities we had. Like you said, to have control over whether you win the President's Trophy or not is crazy to even think about. And to clinch the Central Division. If this is just a normal loss without those stakes on the line, you could just be like, okay, well, we've been playing amazing for a month and a half. We've been the best team in the league. We can have an off night. But man, when that kind of stuff is on the line, it hurts a little bit more, even though the Stars are playing really good.
It's super tough, especially when you're talking about that was only the third time we've been shut out all year long.
Yep. And I mentioned off the top, the Jets did play great. The Stars also didn't play very good either. I mean, that's pretty much all Razor could say on the broadcast was it's just a little off for the Stars. And it really was it was a touch off. And you got to give some credit to the Jets there too. Their sticks were always in the lanes for those grade A passes, never got second chances. I mean, remind me of the Jets goalie. I keep wanting to say Morrissey.
Brossois or something like that. I think it's that, right?
Yeah. But he played good tonight. He made a couple of big saves, but the puck was bouncing off him like a trampoline, and it didn't even matter. Every time it came off him, all the Stars were fully covered, couldn't move, and then the puck was immediately cleared. So this is a combination of the perfect game that the Jets want to play. This is how the Jets can win the Stanley Cup, is they have to take all the skill out of the game and get a couple lucky bounces. And that's what they did.
Yeah. You look at the goals that they did get, other than the empty netter. One's a crazy lucky bounce off the backboard, snapshot from the point, hits the boards, flutters, goes to the opposite side of the net, hits off of another player, and we're not even done yet. And then it goes straight to the other player, Jets player, in front of the net. So it took some crazy lucky stuff for them to get scoring chances as well. A lot of it due to bad turnovers in our own defensive end, but even at that, it took lucky bounces the other way for them to actually get into scoring chances.
Yep. And I think that's Rick Bonus hockey played to perfection what they did tonight. And that's what it can do. It can beat teams that are better than you. The Stars are better than the Jets. The Jets honestly shouldn't be in the position that they're in right now, given the lineup that they had, at least before trade deadline. Trade deadline, they definitely beefed it up a little bit and looked like a real playoff contender, but they're able to outplay their skill level because of the system that they do. And tonight is just the textbook example of when that lockdown defensive hockey can work.
Yeah, they played exactly the way they wanted to, and they stuck to it the whole game.
Yep. And I believe that's 5 straight wins for the Jets tonight. Is that correct, James? Do you know?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's 5 straight.
Yes, it's 5 straight.
Yeah, 5 straight
after,
for them.
After like 7 straight losses.
After 7 straight, yeah. They dropped all the way down, another charging all the way back, trying to take home ice for that Avs series. And
this game was really big for them, too. It brings them tied with the Avalanche now. So they're tied with the same number of games left. That's really big for them. So as big as it was for the Stars to clinch the Central and to take the lead in the President's Trophy, it was equally big for the Jets to get home ice advantage, which in bonus hockey means a ton.
Yes, absolutely. Getting the correct matchups is a big deal for that kind of system. And it sets up a great matchup for the Jets and the Avs on Saturday. That's going to be a must-watch game.
For home ice advantage.
Is for home ice advantage in the playoffs, and it's game 8 maybe of that playoff series. Is really,
yeah,
it'll be fun.
Game 0.5.
So we've given our credit to the Jets. Let's kind of pivot focus back onto the Stars a little bit, and they really just couldn't get anything going tonight, and it was frustrating. No one could do the right thing, it felt like, in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and it was just millimeter or inches off every single time. I mean, it's the puck's just too far away from this person. They pass it just too far. They just barely couldn't get it back up to the point. They just barely couldn't get past this one. Just every single time is like the Jets were just barely getting to the right spot in time.
Yep. And that's what it felt like all night long. You're 100% right, James. And I was actually happy the Stars pivoted kind of late in the second period. They're like, okay, the skill's not working. We're going to throw it to the point. We're going to throw 3 forwards in the slot, and we're going to shoot it and hope it goes in. And we had great setup plays like that, great chances for deflections, and just no luck. We couldn't get one to go in. We couldn't get a rebound to bounce the way that the Jets got a couple of theirs to bounce. And that's just kind of the difference, I feel like, tonight.
That was definitely part of it as well. The puck luck was definitely not on our side tonight, but there were lots of chances. Like, I think about the Sagan one on the power play where it went across. It was in the air, so like, yes, it's hard to get, but he missed it. And then there was another one in the third where it gets across, and then Hintz misses that one too. I mean, we had, and then the Ben one in front, that if he just was able to slide on the ice, it's a goal. It's just little things like that all over the place in every period where it's, if you could just get your stick on it a little bit more, it's in the back of the net.
And that's exactly what I was going to get to next, James, was the shooting was also off. It wasn't just passing. It wasn't just bounces. Stars could not shoot a puck. There were so many times where Stars took a shot and then straight eyeballs to the rafters after a poor attempt. Like you're saying, whiffing a lot. There was a lot of whiffing tonight, which was weird. Or just airmailing it over the back glass. I think Marchment and Duchesne have like 10 different prints on the back glass from tonight's game alone. So shooting was not good. shooting was bad. I'll say that. The passing was just a little bit off. I feel like entry is just a little bit off. The shooting sucked.
And the passing in the third seemed to get better. We stopped trying to do the super long, wide open passes that the Jets were cutting off a lot. And we were doing shorter passes to the person who was open. So that picked up a little in the third. But I mean, by then it was just Jets were clogging up the slot and there's not much that we could do.
Yep, 100% agree there. And I was actually kind of surprised that the Jets were able to stop the stretch pass from the Stars, honestly. When I think about how the Jets are playing, I feel like they try and lock you in and break up those shorter passes even, which makes them more susceptible to the stretch pass, but that was not the case at all. And that's showing you when they are playing at their best. It's not necessarily flying around the ice, making great passes the way the Stars do. It's there's nowhere to go. The stretch pass is closed, and you still have to make tough little passes in the neutral zone to get through too. And yeah, the Jets were just on all cylinders defensively tonight, and they got the two bounces. If you look at some advanced analytics for our favorite website, MoneyPuck, and our favorite useless statistic that we still like to look at because it's pretty and it's on the front of the page, the deserved to win o-meter had the Stars at 65% deserving to win tonight. Shot charts are kind of crazy. So many more shots that had scoring chances from the Stars, it looks like, on there.
Yeah.
And
really a big reason why you see the lop side and that meter that we love to use is because of the goals that the Jets did score. I mean, they were lucky, kind of random bounce goals. Those don't happen very often. The Jets got two of them. So It's kind of how it works sometimes. And if your offense can't click and they're not clicking one night, you're just not going to win. That's just how it works.
Yep. Also surprising was the third period for me. The Jets did what we thought they would do, what Bones always did whenever he coached the Stars. They locked down and turtle it. Only took two shots in the period where they had a power play. But they only allowed seven as well from the Stars and at times in the third period, the Stars were swarming the net, and still only seven shots in 20 minutes is pretty shocking.
Yeah, that's a little tough. I think a lot more of that is like what I was saying. They basically put all five players in the slot and just laid the body down. There were a lot of block shots in that third period. A lot of dangerous block shots too, to be fair. I mean, though there's some... That's a good way to get hurt, but it's just how Bonus plays when he has a 2-goal lead.
Yep.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Here's some odds for you for the Rocket Richard trophy, which is the regular season top goal scorer. Obviously, right now, Austin Matthew leads the way. He's got a -330 in the odds, but you can also take a look at Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers with a +650, David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins with a +1000, or maybe you can even go for Nikita Kucherov at a +2500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
The block shots tonight were 18-6 in favor of the Jets, and the AAC is a building that doesn't like handing out a lot of block shots, so that's a very good numbers for the AAC for the Jets there. Does this loss make you nervous at all, James? I mean, just being losing the game that would give you the chance to clinch the division, just pushing it back maybe puts a little seed in players' heads. Oh, maybe we're not going to get it. Is there any kind of question like that in your mind?
I think that my biggest doubt was still Otter, and Otter played fine tonight. I mean, the two that got by him were stupid lucky, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like the team offensively couldn't click tonight. The Jets did a great job of making sure that it stayed that way throughout the night. There were chances. The Stars, if one of those goes in, I mean, the building is on fire and the whole team gets like a strength bonus, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I said this like halfway through the second. I was like, this game is going to end with the Stars not scoring or they're going to win. And yep. That's how the game felt from the get-go, really.
And that's how Bones hockey always worked, too. I mean, if you played solid the whole game, yeah, you can beat anybody. But if you break just a little bit, the dam opens.
Yeah. And that's something that the Stars, more often than not, will be able to break through. And some of it may be a little bit of fatigue still setting in because this is still fourth game and what? Six nights, so it's a little tough. It's also against Jets, who are very hot right now, and a Jets team who is a lot more hungry for their spot. I mean, the Stars are hungry for that President's Trophy. I know they've been talking about it, they want it, but it's a little different when you're still fighting a team in your division in the standings. It feels that way constantly.
Agreed. What about a 7-game series with a team like this? Just broadcasting second round, Jets get through. Does this game make you a little bit more concerned than you were before, maybe?
It makes me a little bit, but also the Stars team is the only team that the Jets who have lost to in the Central. I think that this pushes the Jets to like 19-2-1 in the Central or something stupid. That's like crazy. That. I think it's 13, actually. Because they don't play that many games. It's like 13-2-1. They did not lose to any other Central Division opponent other than the Stars. So they played very well against their division this year. It's just that the Stars most nights will beat this Jets team. It comes down to how focused are the Jets on any given night. And if they are dead focused through the whole game, you're probably not winning that one, but looking at that across a 7-game series, it's tough to keep an offensive team off the sheet for 7 games straight. I mean,
yep.
You have to do it for 4 at least. I mean, you have to blank the Stars for 4 games to win is basically what I've learned from the season series.
Yeah, and that's the difficult thing about the system is it demands perfection from each player. If you get that, like I said, you can beat anybody, but it's really hard to do. I'm not too worried about facing this team in a 7-game series, honestly. I think the analogy that I gave of if there's just one crack in the dam, the whole thing's going to go down, I think that translates over to 7 games, too. So even if the Jets get first one, maybe they get the second one even. The Stars win the third one, and they find out how to score on this kind of defense. I'm honestly not super worried about scoring in the future after that. It's also demoralizing for a team like this when they do get broken to try and it's rebuilding back what they had. I mean, you gotta be mentally tough and you've got to be just systematically perfect, like we talked about. And mm-hmm. I think that's tough to keep up against a highly offensive team, like you mentioned, over 7 straight games.
Yeah, the only other thing that I would say is really concerning if we want to get in specific players. Nils Lundqvist still ends up with like 8:44 on the night, time on ice. So that's something to talk about. He's been still spotty. I think Chris, you stated that like it's less that Nils being in the lineup makes the Stars win as much as just the other players get to play more. I think that's very much the case looking at it now, especially because The tough thing is the past couple of games, Nils has been giving up bad turnovers that lead directly to goals. And when you're only when you're playing less than 10 minutes a night, you cannot have that on your team, especially when the games are this important. I mean, you think that most players find their second gear around this time of year. And I'd say most of our players has. I think Ryan Suter is a great example of that. He had a great night tonight. He really did. He's in perfect position almost every single time, breaking up chances, rushes the other way. It's
exits.
Exits too. I mean, that's something that we don't expect from him. He's doing really, really well. And it's just something Lundqvist doesn't have. He doesn't have a second gear that he goes into. And he's easily getting outclassed by every single other player on the ice.
Yeah, I think I agree with that right now. There might still be some little inkling left of him just not having the conditioning to go a full 82-game season, maybe. But this is his third year of attempting to do it, and each year he's lost the confidence of his coaching staff at the end of the year to the point where he's next to unplayable. And it's upsetting because this guy still, he's got tons of potential. I mean, I gave the Gurionov comparison. I think that's dead on. He's got all the tools there. He's just, it needs to execute. So,
and even this time we can't take him out of lineup because Hakanpaa's not ready yet, obviously. Otherwise Hakanpaa would be in by now. Like that is a given. He is in the lineup. There's no one taking his spot right now, and he's still failing. I mean, it's really discouraging to see. He still is a young player. This does not mean that he's not going to be good later, but right now is when we need him, and he is not showing up at all.
Yep, I agree. Speaking of injuries, Dodonov has been skating a little bit. I believe Hakanpaa still didn't skate at their most recent practice, but he's believed to be close. So maybe next practice, next morning skate, we might see Hakanpaa at least on the ice. But so far, not sure on that. Likely Dodonov won't play until playoffs due to cap reasons. Hakanpaa is not on IR, so he can technically come in whenever, but it's looking like they're going to want to give him as much time as possible before we get going. But if he's available, he's in. I mean, that's pretty much a given now, especially when we look at the time on ice that's been given to Lundqvist. But when you look at the whole playoff set and you look at where the Stars are eyeing to go deep into the playoffs, you're going to need a seventh defenseman at least at some point.
It's
so
not voting well right now.
And the seventh does not look great right now, and the coaching staff does not look confident in the seventh. So
rightfully so.
Rightfully so, unfortunately, recently. And he makes a couple good plays each game too. But yeah, when you give up that many goals, you have no time on ice, it's definitely going to hamper you.
And it's not the good plays that are like taking him out. Obviously he makes tons of great plays. He makes at least one or two really, really bad mistakes every single game. And more often than not, it leads to a goal directly. And that is just something that you cannot have in a bottom pairing defenseman. It's just, you can't have that. Like, this is, Lundqvist is someone who would benefit really well from being on a rebuilding team right now, because he would play no matter what. I mean, that is a player who you want to play in the NHL, get time and get more confident, build up those skills, but you can't do it when you're playing on a Cup
President's
contender.
Trophy team.
Yeah, I mean, it is the most important games you are going to play for the whole season. I mean, I don't remember Lundqvist ever even playing in the playoffs last year, so this is probably the most important game he's played in almost 2 years, and it's just, it looks awful. It does.
Yeah, and that's the reason he actually came to the Stars, by the way, is he didn't want to go down to the AHL. And we've talked about many times that maybe that would have been the best thing for him developmentally, to do something that Harley did. I mean, we all know Harley was itching to get up to the NHL. Stars were itching to put him on the roster. And each time it was tried, it just didn't work out. So they said full season down there, learn the defensive side of the game. And he did that. And lo and behold, in the NHL, he's got the offensive side too still. So That's not an option though for Lundqvist right now. I mean, it's in his contract, he can't go down to the AHL unless he gets on waivers, and he wouldn't want to do that anyway. He already left one team to avoid that, so it'll be interesting. I think next year is kind of the deciding year on what happens with Nils Lundqvist. I think he does have one more. We'll see. That's definitely an off-season question, but he's our seventh defenseman for now, and we'll probably see him at some point in the playoffs. So we'd like for him to get better. Go ahead.
It's just really tough seeing it, man.
Yeah, because I was so excited for him. I'm still excited for him. He can be a great player, exactly like Gurianov. Let me just stop talking in circles. Let's do biggest winner, biggest loser. James, whatever you want.
Biggest winner we give to Bonus Hockey because good night. That was pretty much exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, biggest winner, I'm going to have to give it to their goaltender. He didn't play great, but he stopped everything that they needed to, and he knows his defense is good enough to get it cleared for him, so he doesn't have to try and do the extra effort to kick it out or hold on to it. So trust his defense and makes the saves that he has to make. That's a great game from your backup goaltender. Biggest loser.
Okay, so biggest loser, I would give the Lundqvist, but we've been giving it to him like every night, feels like. So I'm not going to give it to him because honestly, even with the one he gave away, we should still win this game more like 9 times out of 10. I'm going to kind of give mine to the second line because they looked very disconnected tonight. It felt like a lot of the times they could never get in. And even if they got in, it was instantly turned over and it was out the other way. It felt like they had a really hard time setting up tonight and they never really got a chance.
Yep. I'll give mine to, I'll be a little bit off the wall here. This one doesn't really make a ton of sense, but I'm gonna give it to Roope Hintz. I feel like there's times during the season where Roope can make a huge difference in a game like this and can take control of it. And I feel like we haven't seen that in quite a while, even given the amazing play the Stars have had recently. I feel like Roope hasn't really been a catalyst of it, hasn't been a driver of it the way he can be on this team. And a game like tonight would have been a great time for him to do it because he had chances. He was flying all over the ice. He was one of the more noticeable forwards for the Stars. He just couldn't cash it in, couldn't be the difference maker tonight. And that's true of you could pick almost any Stars forward for that. I just feel like we haven't seen it from Roope in quite a bit. So I'll give it to him a little bit undeservedly, but just so I can have a talking point. Anything else that you want to add tonight, James?
Nope. Stars need 3 points to clinch the Western Conference. Still, they're still in control for that. Just no longer for the President's Trophy.
Yep, and they just need 1 point to lock up the Central Division still with 2 games against some inferior opponents. We'll talk about one more thing. I'm sorry. The Stars have the chance to potentially decide their first round matchup in the Blues in the final game of the season. The Blues are now what, 3 points back of Vegas? Or is it one?
One
now?
Second. Let me look
pull
it
up, James.
Quick. Okay, anyway. So the Vegas Golden Knights are sitting at 92, I believe, and the St. Louis Blues are at 89. So they're still 3 points back, and St. Louis has played one more game than them.
Oh, they have played one more game than them.
It's still possible, but
Vegas has a couple of tough games left. So say Vegas loses 2 out of their 3 remaining, and then St. Louis wins one. The Stars have the chance to, they have to win 2. So say St. Louis wins 2. Then the Stars have the chance to, if they lose, they play St. Louis. And if they win, they play Vegas, which would be absolutely hilarious.
That would be hilarious. It's probably not going to happen because I think the Vegas Golden Knights have like 2 or 3 easy opponents actually in their last 4. They have like the Avalanche and that's their hard one. But it'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. That would be maximum chaos and I would love it. Anyway, be sure to go on to DraftKings. Use that promo code THPN, like I said earlier, gets you some free stuff. Lets them know that you came over there because of us, and we are just the best advertisers for them ever. Be sure to check out StarcasticRemarks.com. You can get anything you want from us there. We've got some articles that go up. You can see when our podcasts release on that website as well. And it's actually way better designed than a podcast of our size should have. So be sure to go check that out. Maybe bookmark it. Check it once a day. See what new stuff we got going on. That would be fantastic. The Stars will be back on Saturday at what time, James?
I think it's 2:30.
2:30. I think you're right.
It's a weird start time.
Yeah, a weird start time.
That says 2 right now. Saturday. But it'll
probably end up being 2:30.
We'll see. Both the last two are national broadcasts. So.
Exactly. Well, we'll be back with y'all on Saturday. And without further ado, I'm Chris, here with my brother James. Y'all have a good afternoon, evening, whatever Ryan says. See ya.